Good morning, church. It's a new day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's great to meet together to fellowship, even though we're not meeting physically. It's still great to gather with one heart to give God worship. It's always a privilege to speak to God's people. And when I was asked to speak in the series, I was thinking, oh, Revelations. I need a revelation in Revelations, you know. It's not one of those books that you just roll out of bed and think, what book am I going to read today? Let me just check out what's happening in Revelations. But it is part of God's word. It's so loaded, and we really need to go into it, dive into it. So I'm glad that we're looking into these letters that were written to the churches. It's definitely a great series to be looking into. So thank the leadership of the church for that initiative. Shall we pray? Father, I give you glory. I give you praise. I thank you for this morning. I commit myself into your hands. May you speak through me. I pray for everybody listening. Prepare the hearts of the people and let them receive your word. I pray that I'll be blessed by the word as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so seven letter series. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Kevin started with a letter to the church in Ephesus. He was talking about first love. It was actually on Valentine's Day when he started with that. And last week, Pastor Richard talked about the letter to the church in Smyrna. And I think he gave us a lot of information about the background, the setting of these letters that were written to the seven churches, just to help us understand the context and the setting in which these letters were written. The letters were written to the churches in Asia, as we know, but this is Asia that was a Roman Empire or Roman province in which is now Western Turkey. And it actually happened, or the letters were sent during a time of persecution. So it was a difficult time for the church. And it is good that we know these things as we listen to the series and as we read the book of Revelations, to kind of understand the time it was written in. Now, this was not John's message to the churches or to the believers. You know, he wrote it, but he wrote it under the inspiration of the Lord. He had a vision, and in that vision he saw Jesus, who was dressed as a Roman judge. I think last week Pastor Richard mentioned that, and that showed the way he was dressed with his white robe and the sash. It showed that he wasn't here for fun. It wasn't, you know, a joke. He was here for business. He was here to talk about some serious stuff. And so the church needed to listen, and we still need to listen. So today I'm speaking about the church in Pergamum. And just to give you a bit of a background, so Pergamum, or Pergamon, is also known by its modern Greek name, Pegasus. It is now the modern town of Bergama or Bergama in Turkey. And some Bible translations actually title this passage as the Compromising Church. So that gives you a bit of background, or it gives you an idea of, you know, what this letter is about. So Jesus starts with commendation. He talks about what they've been doing well, and then he goes on to rebuke the church. We need to realize that God expects so much of us. We may be doing a lot already, but he still expects us to grow. He expects us to move on. Why do we need to study these letters? You know, there were letters written to churches many, many years ago. What has that got to do with us, you may be asking? But these letters are very relevant to us today, okay? Just as they were surrounded by pagan worship and so many things at their time, we are surrounded by a lot. I cannot begin to list them, but we are also in an environment that there's so much godlessness, there's so many things going on around that makes these letters very, very relevant to us. And so it is great that we're studying them. Please focus on them, pay attention to the series, and allow yourself to be blessed what we are learning. So just a brief outline of what the letter says. So as I've said, Jesus starts with a commendation, and what he says, he talks about holding fast to his name, to Christ's name, and not denying their faith. Then he talks about the false teaching. So he rebukes them about false teaching. And then there is a call for repentance. And that is so key. That is so important that we repent. So let's go to the scriptures. Revelations 2, 12 to 17. And I will read. This is from the NLT. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne, yet you have remained loyal to me. So this is a city that had a temple that looked like it was like a seat. And Jesus is saying that Satan actually had his throne. You know, if you wanted the address of Satan, the postcode of Satan, it was in that city. So you can imagine what sort of things went on in that city. But then he says that you refused to deny me, even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. So he makes reference to it again, that that city is Satan's city. That is where Satan actually lived. But they refused to deny Jesus. So they did so well to live in a city that is called Satan's city, where his throne is. And even though somebody was being martyred, somebody was being killed, they did not deny Christ. Wow, that is a great commendation. That is a great testimony about the church, something great to be said about them. And likewise, God knows all that we're doing. He knows our sacrifice. He knows the things that we're going through. He knows our labor. You know, so there are some things that we may do that others might not see. You know, there's so many people. You may see those of us who are speaking, or somebody who's, you know, playing instrument, doing something that you can see on the screen. What about the people who work in the background, those editing the videos, people serving homeless people? There are so many people doing a lot. You may pick up a phone, encourage somebody, pray for someone, they get healed, but nobody knows it. Nobody knows it, as in human beings may not know, but your Heavenly Father knows. And remember that your labor in the Lord will not go in vain. Your labor in God won't go in vain. Your sacrifice, everything that you're doing, just keep it up. Keep it up. Keep up not denying your faith, not denying Christ, and standing up for the truth. It goes on to say in verse 14, but I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teachings. So the teachings of the Nicolaitans is similar to what Balaam did, where he taught the people to sin and by eating food offered to the idols. And in those days, it wasn't just a case of going into the temples and eating the food. They did all sorts of things which involved, you know, sexual immorality. So what Jesus is saying is that you in a similar way, you did those things, you follow those teachings, you are tolerating these teachings among you, and that you need to repent. Repent of your sins, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. What environment are we in now? We may be tolerating some things by maybe not speaking, by going along, because we don't want to stand out. But we face a choice. Christians now face a choice to either blend into the society, you know, blend in the society, or to stand out. To stand out in a culture where there's so much compromise, there's so many things going on. Now, in case you're wondering, Balaam, in Numbers 25, 1 to 3, the Bible says that while the Israelites were camped at Acacia Grove. Some of the men defiled themselves by having sexual relations with local Moabite women. They were not supposed to do that. They were not supposed to have relations with these women. And it goes on to say in verse 2, these women invited them to attend sacrifices to their gods. And so Israelites feasted with them and worshiped the god, the gods of Moab. In this way, Israel joined in worshiping of Baal of Peor, causing the Lord's anger to blaze against his people. That was definitely not a good thing to do. So we need to make sure that we are standing for the truth, that we are not allowing ourselves to be deceived. Now it goes on, I'm reading 31, Numbers 31, 16. It says that these are the very ones who followed Balaam's advice and caused the people of Israel to rebel against the Lord at Mount, depends on where you come from. They are the ones who caused the plague to strike the Lord's people. So if you know the story, or you read it more in detail in Numbers, Balak wanted to curse these people, but anytime Balaam, who was the prophet, tried to, he opened his mouth and he started blessing them. On three occasions he tried it, he just could not curse God's people, whom God has blessed, no one can curse. And so he then comes up with this idea and says that, look, the only way you can do this is to actually get the people to sin, and then they bring the curses on themselves. How wicked is that? And so Jesus is telling the church not to tolerate teachers like that of Balaam. And he's telling us as well not to compromise. It is so easy to compromise. And it might seem like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's only, you know, a little this year and a little there. But think about it. Remember, it's not just what you do now. It's all the future consequences. It's the repercussions from our actions. And I'm just going to talk about two examples of people who compromised, and then an example of one who didn't compromise. Now, in Genesis chapter 25, from verse 29 to 34, we read about Esau, who sold his birthright because he was hungry. Now, it's very easy to criticize him, you know, reading the story. But you can be so hungry to the extent that you think, you know, just give me anything. And he got to that stage where he was only thinking about the now. So no matter how hungry, how desperate you are, don't think about the now. That hunger will pass. You know, people are able to fast for so many days. So if he had persisted a little bit, the hunger would have passed. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 16 to 17, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the first son for a single meal. It wasn't even like, you know, eat as much as you can for several months. It was just a single meal. How sad. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. So this is somebody who compromised. He just thought, look, what is the birthright to me? I'm hungry. I'm going to die anyway. No, you're not going to die from just missing one meal. He was just thinking about that moment. If he had persisted, something would have come up. He wouldn't have died. He would have just drunk water and turned it into a fast. But we know what happened. He compromised. Again, in Genesis 16, Abraham and Sarah, they had waited so long for the promise of God of a son to be fulfilled in their life. So they came up with a plan. We're thinking, you know, we might need to give God a helping hand. But we don't need to. We don't need to help God to fulfill his promises in our lives. We don't need to try and come up with a better plan. God has the best for us. But we have a good example. We have a better example in Jesus, where after he had fasted in Matthew 4, from verse 1 to 11, he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, was led in the wilderness, and the devil came to tempt him. Three times, but he refused. And interestingly, he refused it all. He had a counter argument. Everything that the devil raised, he said, but it is written, but it is written. So he knew the word of God. We need to be able to stand against temptation, compromises when they come, you know, the temptation to fall when it comes. But how can we do it if we don't know God's way? So we need to know God's way. We need to know what the right teaching is so that we don't fall for false teachings like this church in Pergamum did. God doesn't need our intervention. Let's read his word. Let's hold on to his promises. And look, if you are faced in a situation where you're unsure of what to do, pray. Pray, read God's word. Some things are clear in the Bible. You know, you don't need anybody to interpret it for you. It's so clear. This is the will of God concerning it. Some of the things are so clear. But for some things that are not too clear, pray about it. Seek godly counsel. Speak to matured Christians who can guide you and direct you. But you know what? A lot of time when people come to you and they ask a question, oh, is this wrong? Or is this, you know, is this a sin? Is this not a sin? Most of the time, they already know the answer. Their heart, within their heart, they know what is right. God will speak to you. There's a still small voice that speaks to us. God speaks to us through that still small voice. And the more we obey that voice, the more he speaks to us. But if we hear the voice and we ignore it, we keep ignoring it, and after a while we don't hear it anymore. There's so many external influences that entice us to compromise, but we need to be strong. Let us be strong. Let us be unmovable in our faith. Now, it goes on to say in verse 70, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Anyone who has ears, if you can hear it, listen, because this is important and it will save you. God is calling us. It's a call to separation, a call to say that do not compromise, no compromise. A church that stands for pure teachings, for purity. That's what Christ wants. That is what he's saying to the this church, and that's what he's saying to us today. To stand for what is right, to stand for pure teaching. We need to make a decision and choose what we stand for. Some people are standing on the fence. No, there is no fence. You're either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. So you need to make a decision. And it goes on to say that to everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. Now we know about manna. Manna was given to the Israelites when they were in the desert. It's a heavenly food that God provided them. And he's going to offer that to us if we do not compromise. What promise? This is food that will refresh. It is heavenly food that God is going to give us. And he goes on to say, and I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Wow, that's so wonderful. You know, in the ancient Greece, stones were sometimes given in a court in jury cases to indicate the verdict. So if or the vote. If you were given a black stone, that meant that you were guilty. If you were given a white stone, it meant that you were innocent. So Jesus is saying he's going to give us a white stone to show that we are innocent. And also there's going to be a name written on it that nobody knows except the one who receives it. And that is like a special act of love. You know, how lovers have names that nobody knows, only each other. Christ is going to give us a new name. He's going to give us a white stone. Such hope, such precious promise that we can look forward to. God loves us so much, and he does not want anyone to perish. And so today, Jesus is inviting us to repent, to come to him, not to go back to the world, but rather to go back to our first love, to go back to when, if you're a Christian, when you first accepted Christ, that excitement that you had, he wants us to go back to it. But if you have not yet made that decision, then today there is an open invitation to you to say that, dear Lord, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. And if you want to pray that prayer, you can pray. We're going to have a response song. You can pray during the response song. You can also contact our admin office. Contact the church when the details come on the screen, and somebody will pray with you. Somebody will help you and lead you to the Lord and support you in order to grow. We need to return to our first love. Jesus is calling us just as he called this church. So just to remind you again, there's so much that we're doing already. Let us hold on fast to it. Hold on fast to Christ's name, not denying our faith. However, we shouldn't accept false teaching. We shouldn't compromise. We should repent. Come to the Lord. Come to Him. He is calling us. He loves us so much. He's willing to give us a new name, to give us heavenly manna, heavenly food that will fill us. He's willing to accept us just as we are, but not leave us as we are, but transform us, wash us with the precious blood of Jesus, so that even though our sins may be as red as crimson, they will become as white as snow. And so in closing, I want to read Hebrews 12, 18 to 28. You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God Himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirit of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. Be careful that you do not refuse to hear him today as he's speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, he will certainly not escape. He will reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshaken things will remain. Verse 20, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. As we listen to this response song, let us repent. Let us rededicate our lives to God. Let us come to Him.
Caught up in your presence, I just want to sit here at your feet. Caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. Well, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry. I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry. And I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet, caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't know me. Anything more than anything that you can do, I just want you. And I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. I just want you. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want. Father, we pray, nothing else but you, Lord. Come near us here in this place. We want nothing else but you.
Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your word. We bless you. We commit ourselves into your hands, Lord. We repent of our sins. Help us not to compromise. Help us to study your word and to stand by the truth in your word that will be preserved until your coming. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.